Tonight our study in Jeremiah is somewhat like our study this morning in that it covers two chapters, chapters 42 and 43 tonight. And like this morning, the material is more historical than it is anything else. It's not very deep in its theology. There's no interesting words in Hebrew or Greek or grammatical structures or theological things that you have to really dig into. It's pretty cut and dry. But there is some good application to it. So if you will, follow along with me. I'm going to start reading Jeremiah chapter 42. Make a few comments along the way, and then we'll make some application from it. Then all the captains... Oh, by the way, let me back up one thing. I mentioned this morning at the end of chapter 41 that when the Jews came back, rather than going back to Mizpah, they came to this place called Chimham. And I said, that's important for tonight. So I just want to bring that to your attention, and you'll see why it's important in just a moment. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Perea, and Jezaniah, the son of Hashaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few, many as thine eyes do behold us. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord God, your God, according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days, that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Perea, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. If you will still abide in this land, then I will build you, and not pull you down. And I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Now here bears a little note quickly. That the Lord repented here doesn't mean that he did wrong. Simply all this means is he accomplished what he intended to do with the judgment of Israel. And no longer was that judgment on his mind. That's simply all that means here. Judgment's over, I'm not going to do it anymore. So be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you, when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an excretion, an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. Now here's the thing, what's going on. The captains, they brought back the people, and Gedaliah has been slain, and they're fearing Nebuchadnezzar coming back and retaliating upon them, and they're saying, we don't want to go back to Mizpah, so we're going down here to Chimham. So Jeremiah, you pray for us and find out what the will of God is for us. Do you know what they were doing? Blowing smoke. They had their minds made up already as to what they were going to do. That's why they came to Chimham. You will go back to chapter 41. Notice verse 17. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem. Notice the last couple of words. To go to enter into Egypt. That's what they determined they were going to do. That's what they determined was the will of God. So then why did they ask for prayer? They wanted prayer so that they could have an assurance that what they determined was right. They really didn't care what God would say if you go down to Egypt, it's not going to be easy for you. That's okay, we're going down to Egypt. We'll endure Egypt. That's what they said about the evil. They would really like it if God would say, hey, when you go down to Egypt, that'll be great. But they're going to Egypt. And do you know how I know this? Not only did they go to Chimham, but when they came to Jeremiah, they said, I want you to pray to your God. Why didn't they pray to God? Why was it that Jeremiah had to pray to God? Well, these people really didn't have that fellowship or personal relationship with him that they felt that they could come. So consequently, they really weren't interested in accomplishing his will. So now Jeremiah comes back and says, here's what the Lord said. I want you to stay right here. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. I'll show so many mercies to you that he'll be merciful unto you. Don't worry about it. You'll prosper here. But if you go down to Egypt, not only is it going to be rough for you, you're going to die there. Everything that you suppose that you're going to flee from here, war, pestilence, hunger, it's going to follow you right down there. And as he delivers that, I think Jeremiah can see on the faces of all the people a great disappointment. And not only a disappointment, but a great anger. Verse 19. The Lord had said concerning you, O remnant, you remnant of Judah, go not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. I told you so. Don't say that I didn't tell you. For ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it, which was really not the truth. And now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place where you desire to go and to sojourn. Jeremiah tells it just like it is. You're going. I can't stop you. But it's not going to be good. Verse 1 of chapter 43. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hashaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. Now, have you ever heard anyone tell you what they believe the will of God is? and you tell them, no, that's not the will of the Lord. And they say, well, that's your opinion. That's exactly what these people are doing here. They come, Azariah and Johanan, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. How do we know that? Because we already determined it. But Barak, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. What they're saying here is to Jeremiah, hey, look, we recognize that when Nebuchadnezzar was down here, he was pretty nice to you. And, of course, then Barak was your sidekick, so he was pretty nice to Barak. And the only reason that you're telling us not to go to Egypt is because if we stay here, he'll continue to be nice to you, but it won't be nice for us. That's the only reason you're saying. God wouldn't tell us that. You have personal motives in this. Verse 4, so Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Barak, the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even unto, and I have no idea how to pronounce this, Tahpenes or something like that. That word there. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in that place, saying, take great stones in thy hand and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in that place, in the sight of the men of Judah. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, such as for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. And the people are saying to themselves, you've got to be kidding. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Think about this. There we were back in Jerusalem, maybe up at this point a year or so ago, and Nebuchadnezzar and his armies had us surrounded, and when the Egyptians came up, they took off after the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, while they didn't defeat the Babylonians didn't defeat them. And they went back down into Egypt, and when they had conquered us, the Babylonians went home. They're not interested in Egypt. They're never going to come down to Egypt. Who in the world do you think you are saying that they're going to come down to Egypt and spoil Egypt? We're going to go down there, and that's going to be heaven for us. No, it's not. Oh, by the way, do you know what happened in history? A short time later, Nebuchadnezzar's army came down to Egypt. Isn't that amazing? But they had determined the will of God, and nothing was going to deter them from what they thought it was. And they did it. Application. Turn with me to the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Question. Why didn't they believe Jeremiah? Jeremiah comes and says, look, here's the will of God. In everything that Jeremiah had prophesied before this, how accurate was he? 100%. Never did he say anything that didn't come to pass, right? So if you come to this man and say, determine for us what God says we should do, when he says what God says you should do, what do you think the probability is that it will come to pass? I'd say pretty close to 100%. Like 100%. 2 Timothy 3. Look what the Apostle Paul writes to his protege. The man who is basically going to fill Paul's shoes after Paul's death. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Kind of like the Israelites down in Egypt. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Now, where did I see that word before? Well, what do you know? It was back in chapter 43. They were proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What? Why did they want to go down to Egypt? Because there's no fear of not having enough food and it was going to be peaceful down there, lovers of pleasure. Having a form of godliness. Well, did these people have a form of godliness? Oh, Jeremiah, please pray to the Lord your God for us. And whatever He says, we will do. Whether it's evil or whether it's good. Oh, we're just so thankful that you can intercede for us. But denying the power thereof. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive. Well, what were they doing? They gathered all the people and said, we're going down to Egypt. We're taking you captive with us. Silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now, let's see, where was that happening? That was happening in what country? Egypt. It's deja vu all over again. So do these also resist truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also, because one of these days that Nebuchadnezzar is coming down, and the word of God is going to be accomplished. But thou hast faithfully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me. Kind of like Jeremiah, being put in prison and into the miry pit and having his scroll burned by the king and all that kind of stuff. I endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me, just like He delivered Jeremiah. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceived or deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, I want you to continue in the things that you know to be true, that have been taught to you by someone who is faithful. Meaning Paul. The same thing should have been done by the Israelites when they looked at Jeremiah. Continue in the things that I say to you, because I've proven myself faithful over the years, the Lord speaking through me. Well, what's he wanting Timothy to follow? Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why is that? For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, to know what is right, to know what is wrong, to know what is the will of God, for reproof, to show up that which is in error, for correction, to take something that's going in the wrong direction and turn it around and get it going in the right direction, for instruction in righteousness, that you don't make the same mistake twice, that the man of God might be, the word perfect here does not mean morally perfect, but simply mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. If you want to know what the will of God is, go to the Word of God. Well, these people had already determined the will of God on their own without asking for what the Word of God was. They weren't interested in the Word of God. Let me put it this way. We prayed about this and we have a peace in our heart. Well, that's wonderful. Except for one thing. Jeremiah had said something about the heart. It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But I've got a peace here. So therefore, it's got to be of God. Now, your heart can deceive you. Go to the Word of God. The Word of God can never deceive you. And you build your foundation of what God's will is upon the Word of God. That doesn't mean you don't pray about it. Lord, show me in your Word what your will is for my life in this particular area. But there's where the answer is. They didn't want the prophet's words. Why? Because the prophet's words were God's words. They just wanted something to soothe that feeling in their heart and make them feel respectable. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Literally, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. Stop right there. It's profitable. We do well to listen to it and not our hearts. Amen? Amen. I'll be home before halftime. Oh, it doesn't matter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I know there are times when we struggle with understanding it and interpreting it correctly. And it's difficult at various places, but there are some things in here that are so plain, it's like the hand in front of our face. And oftentimes we don't want to even see the hand. We just want to do whatever we want to do. Lord, may our desires, our directions, our determinations be founded upon what we first understand you to say in your Word, that then is approved by the peace that the Word of God brings in our hearts, not the other way around. Lord, just do a great and wonderful work in each and every one of our lives, in times of trial, in times of persecution, in times of goodness and pleasure, that the world might know how great and how wonderful your Word is when it works through us. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good week.